It is Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11. I said last week that you never know, this series could get interrupted every now and again on a Wednesday night, the series of our survey through the Bible. We got the first book done, and we're going to have an interruption tonight, all right? So get to Psalms chapter 11. Nikki Jordan is going to come sing for us. You'll enjoy that, and then when she's done, we'll get into a lesson tonight. Bless you, Nikki. Some CDs out there on the table, so you could go by and take a look at those. Verse number 4 in Psalm chapter 11. And verse number 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. Dear Father, I pray that You'll bless our thoughts tonight. Give us a good time in Your Word. And I pray that You'll especially gather and arrest the attention of all the young people in our service tonight. Lord, from college age and down. Just encourage them, speak to them, and especially do something in their hearts tonight that'll be a blessing. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Something's wrong, Brother Bill. Is it too loud? Seems like, is it okay out there? It seems a little overwhelming up here. Maybe it's the monitors. But anyway, I had no intention whatsoever of turning tonight into reflecting on the election yesterday until I started to hear different things today from different folks. I heard about young people who were not here. A young person, a mother brought her young person in, her child in, to talk to a pastor friend because her daughter was so scared and fearful after the results of the election last night. I heard about folks that almost cried. I heard about folks that were nervous as they watched. And in many cases, these were young people. These were teenagers and children. And so I just thought, the more I thought about it, I thought, Lord, you know what? I love the young people of our church deeply. Love them deeply. And I don't want them to live in fear and to be scared or nervous about their future. I don't think that's necessary, and I don't think that pleases God. Tonight, these thoughts are for the kids of our church. My heart longs to see you have a blessed and rich life. And when I say rich, I'm not even thinking about money. That's not even crossing my mind. I'm thinking about a life that's full of joy and free of regrets. Now, if you've got that kind of life, you're rich. Well, this thing sounds overwhelming to me, but is it loud? It seems real loud, okay? So to me, it's okay. Man, I'm dying. I'm cold and it's loud. Usually I'm hot and it's not loud enough. It must be the election. So, if you got a life full of joy and free of regrets, you got a rich life. Okay? So, and believe me, young people, the decisions and choices that you are making now will either cause you to have joy or regret later in life. So before you make a decision, you have to just put in your mind a little fork in the road, and here's the decision. And either this decision I make is either going to take me down the path of joy or down the path of regret. Because it will happen. As sure as you're breathing, it'll happen. You make the choice, it's going to go either down the path of regret or the path of joy. And so, believe it or not, a life full of joy and free of regret has nothing to do with who is the president of the United States of America. Nothing to do with it, okay? Now, you've heard many adults like me, maybe your parents, other preachers, teachers, or just other adults in general talking much about the election that we just had, and they talked about it in the last several weeks publicly, and maybe, and I'm sure you've heard that, your parents and so forth and so on. And last night, maybe you were in that category of watching and being nervous or even scared to watch Barack Obama become the president-elect of the United States of America. Now, those fears are based on what you heard us or others saying about him becoming president. Because there were some pretty heavy things that were said. And I don't apologize for that. I think they needed to be said. But, you know, we got to be careful. After I preached Sunday night at Marion Avenue, got in the car after the brief service we had, and drove to Middletown, Iowa, which is where my father-in-law moved, down about 4 miles from Burlington. And I stayed with him Sunday night. And then I preached a missions conference in Minneapolis. Some of the folks, it probably sounded like I said Minneapolis. Minneapolis, Iowa. Minneapolis is a city of hundreds of thousands. Minneapolis has 1,600 people in it, okay? And I've been there, this is my third time. I have a long relationship with that church from when I was out in Iowa as assistant pastor. So I preached a missions conference there Monday and Tuesday, and I stayed with my father-in-law, saved the church the money for the motel, and it made me blessed and happy because motels get very lonesome and get homesick, and there was my father-in-law. We had a great time and a good time of fellowship together. And so after the service last night, we went to my brother-in-law's house, Brad Cranston, and on the internet, he had all the ongoing coverage about the election. So we went to watch it and see what was going on and what the results were. And my wife had made her dad an apple pie. We had apple pie and ice cream and talked and you know, and my when it flashed up on the screen, you know, he's a geek when it comes to stuff. You know, he had like four different websites all posted on the screen at the same time. There was so much up there, I couldn't make sense of nothing. And so it's all this stuff up there. And finally, it comes up on the screen, you know, Barack Obama is going to be the next president, 300. He had 285 electoral votes at that time and so forth, so on. So my father-in-law, he's 76. 76? You don't know how old your dad is. Oh, my goodness. I think he's 76, all right? So he's 76. Brother Gardner knows. I don't know. Joyce doesn't know. Brother Dave knows. Amen. So, but that's good. 76. I appreciate that. I think he's 76. And he just, you know, he just, and normal reaction. He just went, oh. He said, one of Brad's daughters is named Kayla. He said, Kayla, I feel sorry for you. And Brad, Brother Cranston went, Dad, don't say that. Oh, I'm sorry. And he said, you can't do that to these kids. You can't tell them you feel sorry. You can't act like there's no tomorrow and there's no hope. And I thought, I wanted to say, Brad, calm down. You know? And just, you know, talk to him later. You'll make him feel bad if you start. But anyway, you know, and maybe that's how you young people feel tonight. You know, oh, you know, you feel sorry and scared and nervous. You know, honest to God truth, you know, I walked out the door of the house. Yeah, we wrapped it up, and I was tired. And so we walked out the door of the house. Honest to the Lord's truth, I stepped on the front porch, and a black cat went flying across right in front of me. And I said, that's it. It's over. So anyway, but I, you know, you've heard us talk, and maybe you feel like, you know, oh my goodness, I've heard my parents talk, I've heard the pastor talk, I've heard other people talk, and I've heard teachers talk about this, the problems with this candidate, the problems with this one, and oh my goodness, now what's in front of us? You know, and let me say a few things before I make three or four points tonight. It was an important election. We are in perilous times as a country. We're in perilous times as a world. And I think it's very dangerous to have such inexperience in the White House. That's my opinion. I don't feel like we had a good candidate to vote for. So don't get upset because I'm talking about the black man who got elected. I don't think the white man. I remember when he was nominated, how I felt when he was nominated. I wasn't excited. Very pro-abortion. Very pro-abortion. And he chose a conservative running mate. But you feel good about her running the most powerful nation in the world if McCain dies? We didn't have a good candidate to vote for. That's not a stress, my opinion. I do not believe that he will be a good president. I don't think he's been a good senator. I don't think he's done anything. I do not believe it'll be good for our country. I'm concerned about the direction he'll take us nationally. I'm concerned about how he will represent us internationally. When all the leftist dictators are singing your praises, then you got to go, whoa, here, what is all this? I am encouraged that sodomite marriages were voted down in all three states. I'm encouraged about that. That's a blessing. It was on the ballot, where was it? Arizona, California, and Florida. Lost in all three places. And two of those states went for Obama, but they voted down the sodomite marriage. So they voted in. I thought that was great. That's grassroots America. Good stuff. And so I thought that was great. Praise God for that. I'm going to tell you, folks, that's more serious than Obama getting in the White House. Put that down. But look, the bottom line is this, people, young people especially. Now listen, our joy is not in jeopardy because of who has been elected president. Our joy is not in jeopardy. Our joy will depend on the choices we make concerning how we serve our God. And the more right choices we make, the more joy we'll have. And the less right choices we make, the more regret we'll have. And President-elect Barack Obama has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. So our joy is not in jeopardy. In Psalms chapter 11, this chapter was written when Saul was king of Israel and David served in his court, okay? Saul's character flaws were beginning to show and the kingdom was beginning to sink. And he took out his anger and his jealousy on David, tried to kill him with a javelin. You see that in verse number 2. He said, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." He's talking about Saul and Saul's army who was going after David. And the foundations, of righteousness and truth were beginning to crumble. And David was concerned that there was no hope. That's why he asked in verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's a fair question. When the foundations are gone, the righteous can't do a whole lot. Can't do a whole lot. Okay? I showed you last week the characteristics of the first society of people from Genesis chapter 2. Remember that? The foundations of society, work, authority, marriage, and family. And all four of those entities are under attack. But people, they have been under attack for a long time. Before Barack Obama became president, or even became senator. Work and authority and marriage and the family have been under attack for a long time. Okay? So the foundations of society in America have begun to crumble. It's been crumbling for a long time. But hear me, our joy is not in jeopardy because of that. Our joy is not in jeopardy. You say, is there hope? Do you have to be scared or nervous about the future? And I say, no. I say, all you need to do is lock in to serve your God. And you make the right choices and you'll have joy. And you make the wrong choices and you're going to have regret. And it has nothing to do with who's sitting in the White House. Nothing. Four statements. Number one, there have been many wicked men and women who have been national leaders. And I'm not saying Obama's going to be a wicked man, a wicked leader. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Who knows what will happen? I don't know. I have no crystal ball. But I am saying this. There have been many wicked men and women who have been national leaders. Some of those national leaders are mentioned in the Bible. The Pharaoh of Joseph's day. Ahab, Jezebel, Manasseh. Some of the Herods that ruled. Some of the Caesars that ruled. Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Mao Zedong, Gaddafi, Castro, Khrushchev, who pounded his shoe on the table. Was it 1964? And said, we'll overtake this country without firing a shot. I mean, he was a dictator. Idi Amin, Saddam Hussein, Stalin, Lenin, and on I could go. These were wicked men, wicked women, in some cases, who were national leaders. And folks, Christian people have lived in societies who were governed by wicked men many times. Many times. Christian people have lived in societies. Now, sometimes those Christians were persecuted. Sometimes they were not. But the national leader did not rob joy from the Christians. The Christian determined how much joy he or she would experience by the choices they made. Now, I will say this. Sometimes life was a little harder because some leaders were ruthless and mean. And I don't know what the attitude toward Christian people is going to be. I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. John McCain didn't have a real good attitude toward conservative Christians. So, I have no idea what it's going to be. But I'm telling you, that does not affect doesn't have to affect your joy. You don't need to be scared or nervous tonight. You don't need to be shook up and upset. Okay? There have been many wicked men, wicked women who've been national leaders, and Christian people have lived under their rule and lived in societies where they were in charge. Number two, God is still where He has always been. Okay? Look at verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. And underline that and write out the side of your Bible, amen. So is that important that it says the Lord's throne is in heaven? You bet that's important. That means it's not here on earth, amen. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Folks, there's no higher habitation than heaven. The throne in Washington, D.C. will be occupied by Barack Obama. The throne in Russia, one of them, the actually ruling throne, the president of Russia, or the prime minister, I forget which is which, Medvedev is the president, but Vladimir Putin still runs that country. So he's sitting on the throne of Russia. The throne in Syria is occupied by Bashar al-Assad. The throne in Venezuela is occupied by Hugo Chavez. The throne in Zimbabwe is occupied by Robert Mugabe. The throne in Iran is occupied by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. These men may all be dictators with a lot of power. But hear me, there is a throne located in a higher place than Washington, D.C., and Russia, and Syria, and Zimbabwe, and in Venezuela, and Iran, and that throne is located in heaven. And the one who sits on that throne is the ruler. And last time we checked, and with our Bible in front of us, we see, beyond any shadow of a doubt, the one who sits on that throne is God, the Lord, Jehovah God. So there's no higher place whatsoever than the throne in heaven. No higher place. So whoever's on that throne is supreme in power and supreme in might, and the Lord God sits on that throne. He is on the throne of heaven, has been, is now, and always will be. I'll promise you, he's not nervous tonight. That's right. He's not nervous. He didn't have to take any anxiety medicine. None. To go to sleep last night. Because he didn't sleep last night. Because he never slumbers nor sleeps. So it's all, everything's all right in my Father's house. Sure it is. Sure it is. I'm not talking silliness tonight. I'm telling the young people there's no need for you to be nervous and scared. Am I going to be able to buy a house? And I understand my father-in-law. I understand him at 76 going, our country's not the same as it was when I was a boy. And it's sure not the same when he was a boy. But everything's all right in God's place. Okay? Number three, let me say this. The Lord has his eye on the leaders. Look at verse 4. Look at what it said. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Man, that jumped out at me. His eyes behold, and his eyelids try. Why does the Holy Spirit of God make a distinction there? Well, have you ever put somebody under the microscope of examination? Yourself? When you're really zeroing in on that child that's done wrong, what do your eyelids do, Mom, Dad? And narrow down? Kind of squeeze that child into a little box? Huh? Isn't that what your eyes do? Kind of just narrow down a little bit and get a good look at them. That's what the Bible says God does. He has his eye on those leaders. Those men can only do what God allows or permits them to do. Now, I'll tell you this. God has allowed some men to do some hideous and awful things in the past. But you mark it down, young person, there's always a purpose and a plan behind what God allows. There's no haphazardness. There's no accidents. There's no coincidences. Nothing is done haphazardly. Nothing is done without thought. They can only go as far as he allows them to go, and then that's it. They're done. Okay? Hitler was going to conquer the world. And the Lord let him go a pretty good way. And then he said, that's far enough. So he's got his eye on them. They are under his scrutiny. His eyelids are narrowed. And he's checking them all out. And they will only do as he allows and permits them to do. Number four, your joy comes from the one who sits on the throne in heaven. Okay? Joy comes from knowing him. Joy comes from living for him. Joy comes from serving him. Joy comes from loving him. Now listen to me very carefully. My loyalty is to God. I am a Christian before I am a patriot. And we may well see the day here where we can't be loyal to a government, to a country, and still be loyal to our God. If that day ever comes, friend, you land on God's side. I'm glad we sang that song tonight. I'm for patriotism. I'm for red, white, and blue. I'm going to tell you something. When the day comes that they've got God completely kicked out of everything, I'm a Christian before I'm a patriot. I'm a Christian before I'm an American. I don't like that. I can't help it. I'm a Christian. My citizenship is up there. That's what Paul said. So my loyalty is there first. Here second. Now, young people, you could have a life full of joy and free of regret. Now, and I'll finish with this. Get a couple announcements in. The question is not who governs your country. The question is who governs your life. The question is not who governs your country. The question is who governs your life. And if God is in control of your life, and you're obeying your dad and mom, and you're doing right in school, and you're keeping your nose clean, you're not living a double life and being a stinking hypocrite, and you love God, and you serve God, and you know God, and you live for God, and you be loyal to God, and you let God govern your life, and I'll tell you what, you make the right choices, and your life will be full of joy and free of regret, no matter who is Mr. President. That's the honest truth. You don't have to be scared or nervous. Get up tomorrow morning, read your Bible, pray, tell your mom and dad you love them, and live for the Lord. Amen. That's it. We've seen times before in this country when we thought everything was going to come to a close. We've seen times before when, you know, I heard on the radio today, the Republican Party is in shambles. It's dead. It may be. I don't feel any less joy because the Republican Party is dead. None whatsoever. Because the Republican Party is not the source of my joy. The one who sits on that throne up there in heaven still is. Amen? So put your fears to bed and put them to rest and put your nerves away and just get you a Bible, do right, love your parents, serve God, and let the Lord govern your life, and you'll be just fine. Amen? Amen? No sense in our kids being nervous about having a new president. That's right. Let's pray. Dear Father, bless our young people. Take care of our teenagers, our young people, our college students, our elementary school boys and girls, all those young kiddos, Lord, just watch over them. Bless them, help them. And God, reach down in your great mercy and love and all those that are saved and know you as Savior and just touch their little hearts tonight. Touch those teenage young people's hearts and those college students and even the young adults and, Lord, all of our hearts, even adults, and just let us know, oh, God, you're on the throne, you're there, we know where you are, you're in control, and, God, we love you and we want to live for you. Help us to make the right choices and help us have a life full of joy, free of regret. Lord, I won't even ask you to bless our country, but I'd ask you to have mercy on us somehow, some way. We need mercy. In this nation, no matter who sits on that throne, we got a mess from the top to the bottom. It doesn't matter who the president is. This thing's upside down, inside out, because we've kicked you out of society. Forgive us, O God, of our national sins, for abortion and the sodomite agenda, for all the other, the liquor that flows like a river, and the pornography that's so detrimental, the movie industry. And all of our sin, oh God, is so blatantly against your commandments, your holy word. Help our nation. Have mercy on us. Help us, oh God, to live for you. A clean heart, a pure life, the right choices. And you'll bless us, I know you will. Because you're so great and loving. We love you tonight. Help our church, our people, our young people especially, in Jesus' name.